Welcome to Dharma Dialogues, a children's podcast series on the Yakshaprashnam, a wise and wonderful dialogue from the Mahabharata. Just a little something to keep in mind as you listen to these stories. We tell these stories to spark reflection, not to give strict answers.
These stories are told with love and respect from the Hindu tradition, with guidance from elders in our community. Anyone can listen, learn, and even interpret the stories in their own way. All we hope is for young minds to grow in curiosity, courage, and compassion.
As we are learning and growing with you, any mistakes along the way are completely unintentional. Please feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or feedback.
Now, on to the episode.
Welcome back to Dharma Dialogues, my dear friends. Back to our little patch of green in the great forest of stories. This is part 3 of the third set of questions asked by Yaksha on nurturing life's bounty. In our last talks, we've learned about the simple magical things that nurture life. We saw how the rain arrives as a gift from the heavens and how the seed holds a universe of potential within its tiny shell. A world with rain and seeds is a world ready for life. But the wise Yaksha knew that for a whole community, a whole kingdom, to truly blossom and prosper, something more is needed. He wanted to know about the secret ingredient for a happy, thriving world.
After rain and seeds, what else could there be? Maybe hard work or lots of gold?
Those are wonderful guesses, things we can touch and see. But Yudhishthira, as always, looked deeper to the invisible foundation upon which all lasting prosperity is built.
Tell me, Yudhishthira, what is of the greatest value to those who wish for the prosperity of this world?
And Yudhishthira gave an answer that wasn't a thing at all. It was a person.
The preacher, O Yaksha.
A preacher? That's the answer? Not a rich merchant, or a powerful king, or a brilliant inventor? Why a preacher?
Because a king can build a castle of gold, but a preacher teaches you how to make it a happy home. A merchant can fill a ship with treasures, but a preacher gives you the map to navigate the journey of life without crashing on the rocks of greed. To understand this, you must first know that the ancient seers saw life as a grand journey in a chariot with four beautiful, equally important wheels. The first wheel is Dharma, righteousness, the rule book for how to travel kindly and fairly. The second is Artha, prosperity and security, the fuel and food for the journey. The third is Karma, joy, love and beauty, and the wonderful scenery you enjoy along the way. And the fourth is moksha, spiritual freedom, the final, peaceful destination.
So you need all four wheels for the chariot to move properly?
Exactly. And who teaches us how to be a good driver? Who shows us how to make sure one wheel doesn't get too big and wobbly, tipping the whole chariot over? That is the job of the preacher. They teach us the art of balance. Let me pose this scenario to the listeners. What do you think happens when a community has one wheel, the wheel of Artha, for example, which is the wheel of prosperity, and it becomes bigger, while another wheel, let's say the wheel of Dharma, becomes smaller and thin? Let me tell you the sad tale of the lost village of Biharda. 1,000 years ago, the village of Biharda was one that glittered with wealth. Its mansions were huge, its roads were paved with stone, and was the banking center for 4 different kingdoms. The merchants there, the Boharas, were masters of trade. But a shadow fell upon this prosperous land. The Khoits, the fearsome bandits of the Chambal Valley, began to eye the village's riches. And worse, people from inside the village, their hearts poisoned by greed, began to help the dacoits, sharing secrets for a piece of loot. Fear, like a slow poison, seeped into the foundations of the town. One by one, the wealthy families fled, taking what they could carry, leaving their grand mansions behind to crumble into beautiful, silent ruins.
That's so sad. They had everything, but they lost it all because of greed and fear. They didn't have the dharma to hold their community together.
You see it perfectly. They had artha in abundance, but without the preacher's guidance on dharma, their prosperity was hollow. It had no strong bones. Doesn't this remind us of Ravana in the tale of Ramayana? Ravana was able to become the king of Lanka with help from his grandfather, Sumali, and uncle, Malyavan. And with their advice, was able to receive boons from Brahma, defeat Kubera, and establish Rakshasa rule in the three worlds. Ravana's Lanka was so prosperous that jewels lined its architecture, with his kingdom surrounded by the clearest waters and the greenest grass. His Lanka was most famous for it being made of gold. In the Ramayana, it was referred to as Swarna Lanka, which means the city with golden palaces, domes and walls. As the fable goes, the city was so brilliant, it shined like the sun. The golden architecture signified wealth and prosperity, highlighting the authority and glory of Ravana. However, it all came crashing down because of Ravana's hubris, greed and arrogance. Lanka lost all of its grandeur when Lord Rama dealt a crushing blow over it with the help of Hanuman and the Vanara army to rescue Sita. This battle was won by the victor, while the glorious city was engulfed in flames. This proved as an end to the era of Ravana, as he went from creating Lanka in the seas to destroying it with his own hands. It shows how a predilection for strength and a lack of righteousness or dharma can both lead to great might as well as uninhibited craving.
Wow, that's kind of insightful, but also scary. It shows how having too much of one thing is not good when your dharma is shaking on the tightrope about to fall into the jaws of the lion below.
Exactly, my little one. Now let me tell you about a different kind of prosperity. A magical, endless one that can never be stolen. Let me tell you about Kamadhenu, the wish-fulfilling cow. She was born from the great churning of the ocean of milk, a celestial being who could provide any food, any treasure, any army just by wishing it. This wondrous cow came to live in the humble hermitage of a great sage, a wise teacher named Vasishta. He was in his own way a preacher. One day, a powerful king, Vishwamitra, saw Kamadhenu and was overwhelmed with envy. He demanded the cow, but Vasishta refused. The king tried to take her by force, but Kamadhenu, loyal only to the righteous, produced a divine army from her own body that defeated the king's soldiers completely.
Wow! So worldly power cannot even touch real divine prosperity.
It couldn't, because Kamadhenu wasn't just a cow. She was a living symbol of dharma. She teaches us that true, sustainable abundance only stays with those who are pure of heart, those who follow the gentle guidance of righteousness. Sage Vasishta, the preacher, understood this, and so he was worthy of her gifts. King Vishwamitra, the greedy ruler, was not. This beautiful idea of pure prosperity, one that is both worldly and spiritual, has a divine name. Her name is Lakshmi. Our goddess Lakshmi also rose from the ocean of milk, floating upon the perfect lotus flower.
Why a lotus?
Because a lotus is a beautiful symbol apt to describe what prosperity truly is and should be. The lotus's roots are in the mud at the bottom of the pond, but its stem grows up through the murky water and its blossom opens, pure and untouched in the clear air and sunshine. Our preachers, Arvars and Acharyas, have been telling us that this is how we should live with prosperity. We may live in the material world, which is like the mud, but our hearts and actions should rise above it, remaining pure and beautiful. This is how we truly invite Lakshmi into our lives. Her four arms represent the four wheels of our chariot: Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. The very things a preacher helps us to balance.
That's amazing. It all comes full circle.
Exactly. So to surmise, the preacher is the architect. Our Arvas and Acharyas give us the blueprint to build a life and a world where prosperity isn't just a pile of gold in a vault waiting to be stolen, but a living, breathing garden nurtured by the rain of grace, grown from the seeds of good action, and guided by the gentle hand of wisdom. And this brings us to our proverb for tonight. A little flower of thought for you to carry. A mountain of gold can be conquered by a single thief, but a garden of wisdom is infallible.
I understand now. The preacher doesn't give you riches. They teach you how to be worthy of them. It's just like how they say in school, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
Yes, my child, you have found the very heart of it. Now, as you drift off to sleep, think about the teachers in your own life. What precious gifts have they given you? What are your interpretations of these timeless tales? To the little ones not yet dozing off and still listening in, we would be so happy to hear your thoughts. You can write to us at dharmadialogues108@gmail.com. Perhaps your wisdom will help us build our little garden here. Until next time, may your dreams be prosperous and pure.